Good Sunday morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. Today's the 14th of March, only 6 more days until spring. And I hope you remember to change your clocks. And so also welcome to Daylight Savings Time. Please listen to Helen Ely as she brings us the prelude on our sanctuary organ. Please join me in our morning prayer. Holy God, today we get closer to spring and to Holy Week and to the celebration of the event which not only changed the world, but gave us hope for the forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting, that first Easter morning. Open us up today to hear your word and to worship you in music as we remember what you did for us and for our salvation. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Eugene Bartlett Sr. was inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 1973, some 32 years after his death. He was born and raised in Arkansas, but went to school at William Jewell College in Missouri, where he studied music. In 1918, he started the Hartford Music Company, where he also wrote and produced over 800 gospel songs. Suffering a stroke that caused him to be bedridden, and knowing his last days were upon him, he was inspired to write probably the most famous of his gospel songs, Victory in Jesus. Please join the TPC choir as they lead us in our opening hymn, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
Testament that the preachers use very little for sermon material is the book of Numbers. Much of the book contains list after list of Hebrew people on their journey to the Promised Land. However, every so often, there's a passage that does not contain a list. Such is our reading for today from Numbers 21, 4 through 9. Listen to the words of God. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look on it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. May God bless the reading of God's word to us this day. Amen. Francesca Battistelli is a crossover artist who has won both Grammys and Dove Awards for her music. One of her most popular Christian songs is titled "Beautiful, Beautiful." Please listen as Corey Prince from our praise team leads us in this song.
Don't know how it is you looked at me and saw the person I couldn't be, awakening my heart.
Please join me now in a moment of prayer. Lord, let now the words that come from my mouth and the meditation that's on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. With the creation of Facebook, I have been able to reconnect with some of my colleagues from high school. The other day, one of my buddies posted a picture he had found from a dance from high school, the high school that we went to, Cleveland High School in South St. Louis City. It was from about 1974, and the caption read this: "Kids, this is what Grandma and Grandpa looked like when they were in high school." Of course, the first thing it tells us is what our ages are. And then, yes, we are all grandparents, sometimes many times over. But the picture itself was an iconic picture in that the guys had flower print shirts on with bell-bottom pants and long hair. The girls had exceptionally long, straight hair, and most were wearing either short dresses or what we used to call hot pants. One of my other classmates responded with a comment that read, "Ah, high school, those were the good old days." I hear that expression from time to time. Those were the good old days. Recently at the gas station, I heard someone say, "I remember when you could fill up your tank of gas for under $4. Those were the good old days." In line at a McDonald's, someone commented, "Back in the day, you could get a 2-cheeseburger meal with fries and a drink for under $1. Man, those were the good old days." In more recent expressions, I've heard people say, "I remember when you could go to a restaurant without face masks. Boy, those were the good old days." And every so often, I hear from a well-meaning churchgoer, "I remember back when the church was so full they had to put up chairs down the aisle. Boy, those were the good old days." For me, reminiscing is sometimes fun. But I want to shed two thoughts of caution. First, I want all of us to remember that those good old days were not always filled with everything good. We tend to just remember the good in those good old days, and we forget the struggle and the pain. And second, those days are not coming back. To think about the past is great, but to wish it were exactly how the present is impossible. I know, sooner or later, bell bottoms and flower print shirts are going to be back in style. But I won't be 18 anymore, and it'll long be since my high school days. Sometimes, too, I think we dwell on the good old days and try to extend those to the present. And when we do that, we're robbing the present for the opportunity to do amazing things that many years in the future, someone will then be able to refer to 2021 as the good old days. But it's not just for those of us in the here and now. The good old days was something that was constantly causing strife in the ancient Hebrew people. And that's exactly what was going on in our scripture reading for today. The Hebrew people under the leadership of Moses were on the journey to find the promised land, and they were getting a little anxious along the way. Even though God had provided them over and over again, they were at a place where they wanted the journey to end immediately, and they wanted God to answer them. It's kind of like the grandpa that bought his grandson his favorite sports team's hat as they were heading to the beach. The grandfather, who could not swim, relaxed on the sand by reading a book while his grandson began to play in the water. Over time, the current had pushed the grandson further and further out to sea, and eventually he was too far out and could not touch the ground, and he began to scream for help. Now the grandfather heard him, but since he could not swim, he was of no help. He looked around and there was hardly anyone else on the beach, and so he did the only thing that he could think of doing at the time. He prayed for God to help. Suddenly a huge wave came along, lifted the grandson in the air, and sent him swimming back to the shallow water where he could then walk onto the shore. The grandfather came running over to give him a big hug. Then, instead of thanking God for the miracle of the wave, he got upset and asked God why his grandson had to lose the hat in the ocean that he just bought for him for his favorite sports team. That was the attitude of the Hebrew people. God had provided for them over and over, but they were going through a bit of a rough time and they were yelling at God, and all they wanted to do was return home. It was like one of those, "Oh, remember the good old days back in Egypt. Well, let's go back." Well, you know, they'd forgotten how terrible they were treated, how they worked day and night for almost nothing, how they'd been forsaken or forgotten. Maybe they had forgotten the beatings that they had gotten by some of the taskmasters. They forgot the pain and the suffering and the aggravation. They forgot just how hopeless they were, how they begged God for a leader to save them. Yeah, these were the good old days, and that's where they wanted to go back to. But in the scripture reading, they didn't get to go back. You see, you can't really go back when God's taking you on a journey forward. Instead, God had to get their attention to remind them that those good old days were maybe, well, not so good. And what they were giving up was a chance in the present to experience a new land, a new place, a chance to start over again, and God was going to take them there. They just had to follow. But instead, they wanted to turn the clock back to the good old days. And I think God had to remind them that the good old days were not always that good. And according to the text, God sent some snakes to bite them. And when they repented, God told Moses to make a replica of a snake and use it as a focal point so that they would not get sick from being bit. In the New Testament, Paul talks about transformation. Transformation from the old to the new. The church in Corinth was a problem child church for Paul. They were not acting much like a church, and they were being very exclusive and judgmental. Paul wants to remind them that once they accept Christ, there is a transformation. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. In other words, when you accept Christ and begin the journey of being a Christian, you need to keep moving forward to experience the new. And you cannot keep saying, ah, remember the good old days, if it were just like that today. My wife and I were talking the other day, since we both went to the same seminary at the same time. Actually, that's how we met. We were talking about how much we had grown in our faith, in our knowledge of Scripture, and how we had perfected our theology since those days in seminary. This reminded us of a paper we had to turn in for a spiritual formation class. We both didn't do a very good job on that paper, and I commented something to the effect, well, if I'd have known then what I know today, I would have written that paper completely differently. And my wife agreed, and then it hit us. We cannot go back and write that paper again. And is that really what we want to do with our life? God has called us to do ministry today and tomorrow, and whatever stuff happened in the past, well, that just needs to stay there. I once heard a sermon about how you cannot change the past, and you cannot predict the future with absolute certainty. So the best thing is to live in the present, trusting God will forgive the past, and believing that God will lead you into the future. The Hebrew people were trying to go back and relive the past because they were not trusting God in the present and not looking for God to take them into the future, the place that God had promised them over and over again. James Craft was a longtime member of the Northside Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. He was an advocate for educating young people in the faith. He also practiced his faith daily. For a profession, he owned a horse and a wagon, and he would pick up wholesale cheese and deliver it to his customers. James worked hard, but it didn't seem that he was ever really able to make much money. In fact, he was barely able to keep his head above water. One day, totally exhausted, he turned to God and asked for help. James would share that he heard the voice of God reminding him to always put God first and to forget about the past and live in faith in the present and walk in the future. Walk in faith into the future. One of the things he observed was that the shelf life of the cheese he delivered was not exceptionally long, and he thought if there was a way that this was ever going to be mass-produced and shipped across the country, there had to be a process to somehow keep this cheese fresher. He was reading about the works of Louis Pasteur and his experimentation with heating things to kill bacteria to allow them to stay fresh longer. He sunk almost all of his money into a process of heating and pasteurizing the cheese. The only problem was that the cheese would stay fresh, but after a while, it would separate. With just $47 left in his bank account, his brother, who was a partner with him, encouraged him to go back to the good old days and simply go back to delivering cheese and not waste the last bit of money he had. But James knew that the good old days were not always so good. James told his brother that before he did anything else, he was going to church to pray. And that's what he did. A day later, he came upon an answer by adding some additional ingredients that kept it from separating. And from there, James Craft built a multi-billion dollar company that still is the world's largest cheese manufacturer and makes, among other things, a fan favorite, Kraft macaroni and cheese. James Craft took risks in the present and in the future, but he did so walking a path of faith in God and putting God first. He never once looked back to the good old days. I think from time to time it's good to remember the past, but it's never good to dwell on the past and to get to the point where we want the present to be just like the past. It can never truly be that way. And besides, in faith, Scripture reminds us that we're new creatures. The old is gone, and now we're embracing the newness with God. As you walk in faith, walk placing God first and trusting God to lead you in the present and into the future, to create new places and new experiences in your life. And let the past be just that, memories and lessons to help you move through today and into tomorrow. May it be so. Amen and amen. Charlotte Elliott was the daughter of a preacher and a gifted poet. She wrote humorous poetry in her day in the Victorian period of England in the 1800s. A debilitating illness left her disabled for the rest of her life. At that point, she was bitter about her affliction and was trying to live back in the good old days, when a Swiss minister counseled her to substitute the inner conflict with the peace of God, the peace that only God could give. In 1834, she wrote the words to the hymn that would become a popular hymn of the church, "Just As I Am." Please join the TPC choir as they lead us in this hymn of hope and faith. Thank you for listening to us this Sunday on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. We invite you to join us for in-person worship each Sunday as well at 10 o'clock in our sanctuary at 1030 North 7th Street. If you have children or grandchildren that are elementary age or in junior high, please check out our website for information about our family fun night, which will be at the church on Friday, April the 9th. It begins at 6:30 and includes lots of games And we'll end with a special magic presentation from the amazing Dudley. Our website is third-presbyterian.org. Also, in a couple of weeks, I will be doing a special presentation on our Facebook page, which is Third Presbyterian Springfield, where I will be describing the different days and meanings of those days of the Holy Week. Please join me now in a moment of prayer. God, who is our source of strength and guidance, God who promised us in Jesus Christ the old has passed away and we are now filled with the new, God who brings us salvation in Jesus Christ, hear us this morning in our prayers to you. We remember this morning all those workers who continue to reach out with vaccines, to those who treat ones who have been afflicted with COVID, and to the families who have been impacted by COVID. We remember this morning our children and the educational systems continue to open their minds to the knowledge you have for them, and bless all the teaching and administrative staff with the safety and with their safety, and keep their love moving forward in these challenging times. Lord, we remember the work of our churches in the area, and particularly the work of Third Presbyterian Church. Continue to bless the programs and the ministries in this season of hope and resurrection. Empower your message to spread both near and far. Help us on our individual faith journeys, O God, to keep living in the present and walking in faith into the future as we strive to be your faithful followers. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our a cappella singers send us out today with God Be With You.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again.
May the God who is with us all bring us hope for today and promise for tomorrow, in all we say and all we do. Amen. Well, another 30 minutes has flown by. A big thank you to our organist, Helen Ely. And how about big thanks to Jeff Prince, and our music, who is our music director, and to our TPC choir and TPC praise team. Thank you to our production crew of Scott Humphreys, our production manager, and the support staff of Seth Hood, Braden Prince, Daquan Stamps, and Faith Prince. And to our favorite music store manager and post-production editor extraordinaire, Matt Miller. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor of TPC. Have a blessed week, and please, please remember to stay safe out there.